Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And welcome to you, Dave Bradley.
Well, hello.
Pretty exciting for those of us who are going to tune in to Market Warriors tonight on PBS. But the excitement actually probably happened quite a while ago in Walnut.
It did. It happened in June at our annual AmVets Antique Walk.
Now, Market Warriors, we should just probably mention in case people haven't been watching this. I think if you're an antique roadshow buff, you're probably going to be a Market Warriors buff too. But you had four experts come around and go shopping in Walnut.
Yes. Yes, they come in and they have X amount of dollars to spend. And they purchase, they have target items that they have to buy in different categories. And then they take them off to auction, generally in California, and see who makes the most money.
So it's, and as I understand, they don't make any money by selling that kind of stuff. That just goes back into the program. But so it's sort of the glory of, I was the best picker of the day.
Well, it's that's exactly what it is, but it shows the reality of the business that no matter how smart you are, you don't always make money.
Aha, good point. You think you have a good bargain going, and not necessarily so when it comes to the buyers. Now, Dave, you have a store. You have a business in Walnut.
Yes.
And did they visit your business?
They did. They filmed a little segment in here about a clock, an 1830s clock. We'll have to see if it made the cutting room floor or it made the program.
So you'll be watching tonight, too, with bated breath, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And what's the name of your store?
Corn Country Antiques.
Corn Country Antiques. Okay. Those folks who have been to Walnut who are antique hunters, I know, have been to your store. But for the rest of us, you know, it'll be interesting, I think, to see if we know any people in the background, if we know any of the vendors. I'm sure you're going to know lots of those folks.
Well, I think so. I saw a little preview. There's actually, if you go to their website, there's a little preview on there right now of the show tonight.
Okay. And this is a relatively new show. And in the information I saw, it just started last year, and they go across the country. How did they pick Walnut?
Well, our AmVets show is one of the best shows in the country. Our AmVets do a real good job of filtering out non-antique items, so it's a good show for the purists to come to.
Mm-hmm. And what part did Walnut folks have to play to get ready for this? You know, they don't just, I don't think, they just come in without any warning, probably. They have to do a little background work, some people on the staff.
Well, they did, and we worked with them as far as the AmVets gave them a spot, and Walnut Communications gave them all the power they needed, and we catered them lunch, and just kind of did the basic footwork for them until they could get here. Mm-hmm. They came with a big crew and a lot of expensive equipment, so their part of it was the biggest share of the work.
When you say big crew, that was one of my questions. How many folks does it take to put on a show like this? There's four people who are sort of featured, but how many people does it take to put that together?
They had about 25 people.
Wow.
Here.
Amazing.
And the day before that, they were shooting in California. So they overnighted all the people and the equipment from California to Walnut.
Wow. So Walnut is in the spotlight. Was that announced? I mean, did you have people there watching because they knew it was going to happen or just because they happened to be there shopping?
Just because they were here shopping, it was really kind of a hush-hush thing. Okay. There was no promotion of it prior to the show.
Yeah, probably because they didn't want huge crowds there, you know, in addition to the usual shoppers, because you have a big crowd anyhow.
Oh, we have a huge crowd. We have tens of thousands.
Yeah. And so you were interviewed. Did you have some other part that you played, you know, in terms of making all this happen?
Well, I just helped with kind of the basic leg work and the logistics, and I took care of getting the catered lunch together for them, and it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was interesting and a lot of fun.
How long did it take? How long did they film, you know, between and et cetera? How long does a program like that take to put into their system?
Well, they were here in June, so it's taken quite a long time to do all the editing and put everything together. But as far as being here filming, they had four crews that were here for probably 10 or 12 hours, each crew to do a one-hour show.
Yeah, isn't that amazing, Dave?
It absolutely is. And when they were in my store filming a little segment, it was just crazy. All the little things we had to do to make it come together.
Mm-hmm. And they have to redo. You say, okay, now we'll change this and hold it this way, and kind of retake.
Right, we had to adjust lighting, we had to turn off the air conditioning. If there was noise outside, we had to stop and redo. And so it's pretty technical.
Ah, well, I guess that's the side that we don't see when we watch a TV program of any kind. We don't see all of that background. And I once saw a part of filming a movie, and I'm thinking, this is the most boring work ever because you have to sit around and wait.
Well, and in a movie it might be, but I think here they get to meet so many interesting people.
Ah.
And the antique people are just so interesting, and they're different characters that they just had a great time. I know the film crews were having a ball. My segment was done at the end of the day, and you'd think they'd be dog-tired, but they were in here giggling and laughing and cracking jokes and just enjoying themselves.
Oh, that's good to know. So the information I pulled up, it looks like there's a new person, new picker.
Yes.
And so that probably added, some differences. They kind of get into a pattern of working together, the four of them. And actually, there's two teams of two, correct, that sort of compete.
Well, in parts of it, they break them into two teams of two. In other parts, they're all on their own individually.
What did you learn about antiques, Dave? Did you learn anything from these experts?
I didn't really get to interact with the experts a lot. More of mine was interacting with the film crew as far as the technical part of it.
Uh-huh.
But you learn about antiques when you're doing it for a while is from day to day you realize you're not as smart as you thought you were the day before.
Always something new to learn. Maybe that's one of the reasons you're in that business.
Absolutely.
It's exciting. And, I've used the term picker several times, and again, people who are in that, watch that kind of show know what that is. But a picker is another word for someone who buys and sells antiques. And
well, it's generally a person who goes out and buys and then resells to other dealers.
Mm-hmm. They're not buying to furnish their homes.
Right. It's not like a person that's has a retail store like myself. It's somebody who goes out and finds interesting and odd things and then sells them at auction or sells them directly to other dealers.
And that's where the challenge comes, is in that selling point. Have I picked the right thing to sell?
Well, an old saying in this business is you don't make your money when you sell it, you make it when you buy it.
So it takes a lot of background, a lot of experience, I think, to get to this point. When did you start in loving antiques and getting into the business?
Well, I've always been kind of a collector, and I set up my first flea market in 1971.
Was that in Walnut?
No, that was actually in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. I'm a native of Omaha.
All right.
Raised in Omaha. I came to Walnut 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody was just telling me there's kind of a road show, a road sale, not a show, a antique road thing over in Nebraska. Do you know about that?
Well, there's... they have a highway over there,
yeah.
and everybody sets up along the highway, if that's what you're...
Yeah, wondering. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think...
There's also one here in Iowa.
Right.
191, and it runs from, around Manila to Des Moines.
I think those are becoming more and more popular. And again, there's a TV show on that kind of thing too. So if you're
right,
if you like antiques, there are a number of shows on TV that would play into that interest.
Right, right, and you can get some good information off of those shows. There again, when you're in different parts of the country, prices are going to be different. Items of interest are going to be different.
You mentioned earlier that Walnut is kind of one of the premier shows across the nation.
Yes.
Why?
Well, because they keep the quality up. The Walnut AmVets have done a really nice job of keeping out reproductions, mass-produced European import items. A lot of shows you go to and someone will sneak in and they'll be selling socks or bath towels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Walnut AmVets have just done a great job of keeping all of that away from this show, keeping the quality up.
Oh, okay. Well, we want to encourage people to turn on their TVs tonight if they weren't going to do that. And it's on PBS, the Iowa Public Television Station, and 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And we can see you face to face, we hope. We hope you're not, your face isn't on the cutting room floor. We hope we get to see you, Dave, as well as how this whole Market Warriors program works. We want to thank you very much for taking time to visit with us this morning.
Well, thank you for giving me a call, and let people know if they miss it tonight, they can go to the Market Warriors website, and they'll be able to see it on there tomorrow.
All right. Great. Thanks so much.
And until thank
next,
you.
Until next time, here's a thought. The world needs dreamers, and the world needs doers. But above all, the world needs dreamers who do.